Last weekend was a tremendous weekend for many of us that were at the English retreat. I'm just so pleased because there was such a wide, diverse group of people that were present, young and old, from all different fellowships that came. And one of our major purposes was to bring the family together, because a lot of times we tend to hang out within our own specific small groups or fellowship groups, and we don't get to connect too much with the rest of the congregation. And this gives us an opportunity to come together, to be bonded, to know each other, support and encourage one another. And we met in small groups during different parts of the retreat, where we did icebreaker together, we worked together, we had discussion groups together, we talked about things that we learned from the speaker. We also met in our small group during recreation time, working together, competing with other teams at the retreat. You know, we had a real memorable recreation time. One of the competitions that we had was the canoe race. The canoe race. You remember that canoe race? Well, we got on our canoes and we were paddling onto the other side of the of this big pond here, and we had to paddle around this paddle boat. You know, it was not an easy task. And at one of these races, one of these canoes collided with a paddle boat, and unfortunately, it capsized, as you saw from the picture here. And as they went under, all the other boats started coming over to help out. And we just thank God for that. And one of the guys that fell from this boat was trying to flip this boat back over, you know? And he was as strong as he was, Chris, that was. He wasn't able to flip this because it was full of water, kind of thing. And one of the other guys, actually Peter, saw that Chris was having a problem down there, you know, underneath, wasn't coming up, you know. And he said, "Well, he needs some help. He needs an extra hand. He needs a, you know, if I just go in there and just help him. We could do it together." So he jumped into the lake and swam over there and went underneath, emerged underneath the canoe, and both of them together, they flipped the canoe back over. You know, when you have an extra pair of hands, you could do a lot more than if you try to do it by yourself. More hands always makes the task easier. As we've been studying in Acts, in the early church, we find that the disciples needed some extra pairs of hands. What was happening was that the church was growing so very rapidly. You remember, you know, thousands of people were coming to know Christ as Peter was preaching the gospel. We tell them about the resurrection. And can you imagine if our church all of a sudden, in the next couple of weeks, if we double in size? Can you imagine? That would be great, but on the other hand, it would be chaotic. You know, well, who's going to run the children's department? All of a sudden we have, you know, twice as many, or the youth, or can you imagine during lunchtime? Oh man, it would be chaotic all over there. Hopefully there won't be too much fights that, you know, and shoveling and so forth. Well, at the early church, thousands of people are coming to know Christ. Probably weekly. And the disciples, the apostles there, were just overwhelmed. They were inundated as to all the people that were coming, and all these different people had different needs. And what was happening was they were not able to take care of all these needs. Some of the needs were being neglected. Matter of fact, we see there was a sort of a leadership problem, not only a leadership problem, but also a management problem. No, there are times where we might feel overwhelmed. That we feel, oh, I can't handle with all these things that's happening to me. What can I do? I believe that the apostle felt the same way. They were inundated with just all these people coming. There were just so many needs. And they were trying to take care of some of the physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. They were not able to do it very well. We'd like to talk about what did these apostles do. What did they do? We just read in our scripture reading this morning. This so-called management problem can be as simple as the ABCs. Those are the three major points in the outline. ABCs. So you follow these three steps, you know, we can handle, you know, most of our management problem. When we get just overwhelmed, when we just get just too busy, just don't know what to do. The first thing is that we need to assess the problem in an accurate way. What is the problem? What needs to be adjusted, changed? So assess. Secondly, we need to budget our time in a strategic way. You know, we got so many different things to do, we can't do everything at once. What do I need to do first? What might be some things I might need to put aside? Or maybe I need to let somebody else take care of this. And I need to focus on something else. And thirdly, we need to choose leaders wisely. Because we can't do it all. In order to accomplish all of these things, we need to expand the team that we have. We need more people around us. We need to work side by side with others. And I believe there are various times, maybe a number of us here, might be neglecting certain needs in our life. Maybe it might be our family life. Maybe our personal life. We're just neglecting things because we just got ourselves too busy, just too overwhelmed. It might be at work. It might be maybe church work. Maybe we're doing too much here. And we find that the apostles were inundated. They were just overwhelmed. They just had just too much to do. And we'll see how they go about dealing with this issue. I believe that we can learn from them. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 6. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Again, the first thing was to assess the problem accurately. What is the problem? What is going on here? In verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples or believers was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered at the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And as I mentioned earlier, during the first few weeks, we read in the first few chapters of the early church, there were just thousands of people coming to Christ. And we find that there were some of the needs that were being neglected. And there were some complaints. And what's happened? These Grecian Jews, these are Jews that were from surrounding land that had moved to Jerusalem. They spoke Greek. And they came, and a number of them came to know Christ. And they were looking around, and they realized that the widows that they had among them were not taken care of very well. That the foods were not distributed to them. But however, they also noticed that food were being distributed to the Hebrew Jewish widows. They go, how come they are being taken care of and we're not being taken care of, you know? It seems like maybe there was some favoritism going on. Like, hey, those are really, you know, Jew, and we are like maybe kind of outside coming in, kind of Jews, you know. It could have been a very divisive situation at hand, because the apostles were not able to handle all the different works that was going on. So here they were assessing what was going on. And they see that there's a problem. And the neat thing was the apostle quickly did something about it. There was a quick response to what was going on. They did not ignore the problem or let it go or wait until it becomes a bigger problem or somebody complain a little bit more, then we'll do something about it. But yet they took to action. Matter of fact, they gathered other disciples, other believers together, and they had a meeting to discuss, well, what we're going to do. How we're going to handle the situation. So they assess the problem. And interesting enough, as they look at the problem, what appeared to be a physical problem, that there were not enough people to distribute food to these widows, they found out that they also had another problem. They were also having spiritual problems. They were neglecting the teaching of the Word of God. And what was happening during the early church, as they were expanding so very quickly, that they were not taking care of both the physical needs of the people as well as the spiritual needs. Both were not, because they were just so busy, they were running around trying to do this and that. And as a result, both aspects suffer. So after the apostles reassess what was going on, they realized, hey, you know, we need to change our priority. We need to change up how we budget our time, how we use our time, what we should be doing and what we should maybe not doing. And for many of us, we're probably at the same situation. Our hands are full. There's just so many different things to do. And we need to take a look at our time. How are we budgeting our time? The apostles recognized that they have limited resources. They have limited time. They just could not do everything. And it's impossible for them to be able to take care of both the spiritual needs as well as the physical needs in an excellent manner. Something had to give. And I believe the disciples made a list of all the different responsibilities that they had, all the different things that they were supposed to do during the week. And then they started prioritizing. They started looking, well, what are things that I must do and nobody else can do? And what might be some things that maybe I could delegate to somebody else to do? So I see the disciples were just struggling through this whole task as they reprioritize different responsibilities that they had. Notice again, let's look at these verses again. In verse 2, it says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to weigh on tables. And he looked down, verse 4, and it says, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. So here, what was happening was the disciples realized that they could not do both. And as they were trying to do both, both were not being accomplished very well. Now, they came to the conclusion that they need to focus more on a couple of things, on some of the spiritual responsibilities that God's given to them. And that two specific things were specifically prayer and the ministry of the Word. This is as ministers of God, their major role was to pray in the ministry of the Word of God. Now, that does not mean that taking care of the widows or waiting on tables is not an important item. But in their eyes, they need to prioritize. And even ourselves, when we take a look at all the different things that we are doing, we need to prioritize. What are things that we must do? What are things maybe we have been neglecting and that we need to take care of? We need to take care of those things first and not allow the secondary priority to overwhelm us. The Bible says that as pastors, our main responsibility is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We're to prepare the believers to do ministry. See, pastors are supposed to be coaches, and sometimes there's some misunderstanding as to what they are to do or what they are not to do. Sometimes they say, well, you know, these pastors, we pay them, so they should be doing all the ministry. And that's not the case. There's no way I or the other pastors or even the elders or deacons can do all the work. It's impossible. We must expand our team. We must have a bigger team. We must work together in doing the ministry of the Lord. It is our responsibility, my responsibility, to focus a little more on training, on equipping the saints, on developing the congregation so that they could rise up and say, oh, hey, I can serve God with the gifts and abilities that He has given to me. Let's look. I'd like to just look a little bit closer as Scripture here says that the coaches or the pastors are to focus a little bit more on prayer and the ministry of the Word. I believe that in order for us to serve God in a very powerful way, we need God. I think too often, not only pastors, but also believers, when they serve God, they try to do it all out of their own effort. And we could do okay. But we lack power. The reason why we lack power is because we're not consulting with God. We're not submitting ourselves fully to God. And that's where prayer comes in. We need to pray. We need to submit ourselves to God. And as I read Scripture, it's becoming more and more clear to me that those who does mighty things for God are those that are willing to humble themselves before God. Those that pray to God, that yield to seeking what God wants them to do and doing it and being obedient to Him. We're partnering with God to maximize the gifts and time that is given to us. And we need to remember what is good for God is also good for us. Sometimes we have misunderstanding. Oh, if we do this, then we can't do this for ourselves. And we need to understand that the more we submit to ourselves, the more we understand what God is directing us to do, the more effectively we can be. I appreciate Daniel just sharing about just being prompted by the Spirit to do certain things. And sometimes, you know, we're prompted by the Spirit to do a lot of things, but we don't do it. And sometimes it might be out of the way, it might be inconvenient. But yes, God prompts us, may we be obedient to Him. Not only are we as leaders to focus on prayer, but we're also to focus on the ministry of the Word of God. And I feel that speaks about equipping. Equipping with the Word of God. Training others. Developing others. Now that's not only true for pastors. I believe it's also true for each one of us. Because you know what? All of us are ministers. Every believer is a minister. You're a minister. You know, Minister Josephine. Gabriella. And over here, we have Minister Mark. You know, we are all ministers of God. I need you. And we need to work together as a team. We need to expand our team. And we need to do so by partnering not only with God, but also partnering with believers so that we can do great things for God. Too often, pastors are just too busy with doing administration and shepherding. Now, I'm not saying that administration and shepherding is not important. They are. Sometimes, because we're so bogged down with all administration and caring, that we neglect prayer and ministry of the Word, equipping others, training others. We find this is what's happening with the early church, that they were so caught up doing all the different needs around them without getting any help, that they were being totally inundated. Instead, they should focus on prayer and ministry of the Word. So, the apostle differentiated that there are certain spiritual responsibility as well as physical responsibility, that they had to take care of the spiritual responsibility first, and that they need to find other people to help them to come along their side to do the work of the physical responsibility. They budgeted their time in a more strategic way. They started bringing others along their side, training them and empowering them to do the work of the ministry. So we see the ABCs, as I said earlier, in dealing with any management problem. There's assessing the problem accurately. Secondly, that we budget our time in a strategic way. What are things that we have to do? What are things maybe we've been neglecting that we need to do? And what are some things that we need to delegate to others? That we need to, thirdly, we need to choose. We need to choose leaders in a wise way. See, the apostles were ready to implement the plan, choosing leaders to carry out different tasks that they had, and specifically ministering to the widows. See, in order for them to do that, they first must relinquish their responsibilities. And then they need to entrust that to other people. They need to learn to decentralize. You know, during the early part of my ministry here in XCC, I was a control freak. That didn't sound very good, but I want to make sure everything is done right. So, I attend every single meeting, all the different departments, all the fellowship. I was attending meetings all the time, you know. It was okay in the beginning because things were smaller, but as the ministry grew, it was becoming overwhelming. I just felt totally burned out. There was a period of time in my ministry. They don't want to do anything because I was just taking on everything on my own. And part of the problem of this controlling issue was I felt like, well, you know, if I delegate it to so-and-so, he might mess up. Or he or she might not be able to do as good as me. It was hard for me to let go, to relinquish some of those responsibilities. And through years, I've learned that I must build a bigger team. I need to expand my team. I need more people to come along my side. I cannot do it by myself. And I need to learn to trust other people. I need to understand that although they might not do it as well in the first time, but in the long run, that they're going to do God's ministry much better. That we need to work together as a team. That I can't do it myself. And I've gotten better through the years in delegating things out and responsibility out. And God just impressed upon me that my more higher responsibilities per in the ministry of the Word or equipping. I'm the coach. I shouldn't be out there shooting the basket. That the rest of the congregation need to come along my side, and that we be actively serving God together. I realized that I was robbing you all the opportunity to exercise the God-given gifts that He has given to you. God's given you different passions. And I'm just not giving you that opportunity. So I've been working, and I continue to work, trying to encourage more people to come along my side. I remember the illustration one of my prof shared with me, a very simple illustration, and I'd like to just share that with you. I'd like you just to sort of stick out your arm as far as you can. As far as you can reach, you know. Another foot, you can't reach anymore unless you take another step forward. But, you know, that's the limitation of who and what we can do and reach. But yet, if I were to link arms with somebody else, we could do a lot more. We could reach a lot more people. If two people link arms, we could do a lot more. If there are three or four people link arms, we could do a lot, even more for the Lord. I realize I need to expand my team. And we see that the apostles, they were willing to expand the team. They choose leaders wisely to come along their side. And there were some qualities that came up. I'd like to point that out to you. Let's take a look in verse 3. It says, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of spirit and of wisdom, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them." Notice also two things, that they're full of the spirit and also full of wisdom. And that, notice it says that they need to have it already. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be. That these individuals already have these qualities, these characteristics, full of spirit and full of wisdom. What does that mean? Full of spirit. I believe this full of spirit talks about being filled with the spirit. Or in other words, being controlled by the spirit. Or in other words, being in tune with the spirit. Just as we mentioned earlier about Daniel. You know, there are times when God, the Holy Spirit, several responsibilities the Holy Spirit has. The Holy Spirit gives us greater illumination in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings for remembrance and to teach us from the Word of God. And as He prompts us, are we willing and able to obey God's Word? I believe God prompts us to do many different things from the Word, or just sometimes just inside, just prompts us to do. Last week when we were at the retreat, as you know, I co-teach a class, Bible in 90 Days with WA. And we've been reading through the Bible in 90 Days. Well, there were a number of students that were going to miss class here because they were up at retreat. And one of the things that we did was, that we do in classes, we see a 20-minute video of a teaching of what we read. So after dinner on Saturday, we were going to show this little video clip, and we contacted all the students that were there at the retreat, that are in the class, to gather over in the assembly hall to watch this teaching. And that was fine. I got over there, and they were having some technical difficulty. And since I am just illiterate technical things, I decided I'm just going to walk outside and enjoy the lake and just enjoy the great creation of the Lord. So I went outside and just sort of, you know, taking it in. As I was outside, I ran into a guest, a new member, which I didn't know. His name was Mike. We started talking. And he just happened to walk by me, and we say hi and so forth. We started talking and back and forth. And we really hit it off really well. We connected really well. And one thing he said, he says, you know, I just haven't been a very good Christian. You know, I just haven't been praying very much. And he was just feeling very guilty about it. And deep inside, I just felt the Spirit was just prompting me. He says, talk to him about the gospel. Talk to him about the gospel. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I says, well, I really should be going back inside. You know, I think they might be waiting for me. They're going to show this video, and I'm not there. But, you know, I thought, well, no. I think the Lord wants me to be here to share the gospel with Mike. And in the end, I shared the gospel with him. And he trusted Christ. Another new child of God coming into the kingdom of God. I thank God, you know, because we need to be in tune with the Spirit as He leads us, and are we being obedient to Him? Not only are we supposed to be full of the Spirit, but also we're to be full of wisdom. For wisdom is one not only know about the Word of God, but also they need to know how to apply the Word of God. He or she embraces God's Word and uses it in a daily fashion, in their daily life. Because God is very real to them. You know, both of these qualities, what we're talking about being full of Spirit or full of wisdom, both involve the Word of God. That we need to embrace. We need to take hold of God's Word. And that it needs to be an active part in our life. I believe that as we understand God's Word more, as we come closer to God, that we become more appreciative of who God is and what He is doing in our lives. And I encourage you, I know a number of you again, to have your spiritual journal. Use your spiritual journal. There's a section to journal or write your God hunts and so forth. So write them down. And remember and praise God for all that He has done for us. Because, you know, God has done so very much for us that it should be natural for us to want to praise Him. Not only praise Him, but to want to serve Him. Because that's one of the purposes of why God has created us. Create us so that we might be able to serve God as well as to serve others that are around us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in full advance for us to do." When we carry out and understand our purpose of what God has given to us, then we will be able to enjoy life more fully. Too often we tend to hold on to all that we have. God says that if we give out, we are going to be much more fulfilled. I thank God for many scores and scores of people that join hands with me to minister for God. Matter of fact, I like to ask a number. I have asked several people from the congregation. If they would come forward this time, I invited them to come forward to share who they are, what they do in their profession, and how are they serving God in this church. We find that there is just a wide variety, big, vast, different occupations and backgrounds. They serve in many different ways. I'd like them to tell you about it.
XCC.
My name is Isaac Chu. I work in IT. I serve in the middle school.
Hi, my name is Rosemary Chan, and I work in accounting as an auditor, and I serve in the English Buddy Ministry.
Hi, my name is Grace Sun Chen now,
And I'm a medical student, and I teach the three-year-old kids during Sunday school.
Hi, my name is Jojo Chen. I'm a medical student and play piano on Sundays.
Hi, my name is Mark Epps, and I work at a natural gas company, and I serve as an usher.
My name is Paul Chung. I'm an attorney. I serve in mentoring others.
Hi, my name is Alex Choi. I'm a financial analyst, and I serve the Lord as a fourth grade Sunday school teacher.
Hi, my name is Jane Gann, and I help teach ESL and also work with the children's ministry in the Mar 6 complex. And I'm a dentist.
Hello, my name is Vivian Chan. I'm an engineer, and I serve God by being a photographer.
Hi, I'm Jerry Huang. I'm a software engineer. I serve as a small group leader.
I'm Sherman Joe, and I work for Wells Fargo Bank, and I serve on the land acquisition and building committee.
Hi, my name is Bernard Ng, and I work as a physician, and I serve as an audio controller.
My name is Kathy Kwok. I'm an actuarial analyst, and I serve on the worship team playing bass guitar.
Hi, my name is Ryan Kwok. I'm a dentist, and I serve in the adult Sunday school ministry.
I thank God for them, not only them, but there are many, many that have come along my side. And at this time, I'd like to ask you to come along my side, because I can only reach so many people. And when I connect with others to have a bigger chain, we reach more people. You know, in our church, there's also needs all around us. I'd like to ask, if you were to open up your bulletin, inside there is a response sheet. And I'd like to give you a moment to fill this out. Some of you might never have ever served in this church before. You've been here for a little while. I'd like to encourage you to make yourself available. Say, well, you know, how can I serve the Lord? There might be some areas that you might be interested in serving. Now just check the ones that you might be interested. Now that does not obligate you to serve. We'll contact you to talk to you about areas that you have, and we're going to pass along to different departments. For different areas of service, they might require some training, and they'll train you. We encourage you to fill that out at this time. Some of you might have served right now, and maybe you feel like, this is not a right fit for me. I should be doing something else. Maybe I'm not fully utilizing the gifts and passion that God's given to me. Maybe some other areas might be interesting to you. Well, check those things. We'd like to talk to you about how you can be part of God's team, how we need to expand our team so that we can reach more people for Christ, how we can make a greater impact in our community. So if you could fill that out real quickly and just pass it on to the aisles, the ushers will collect that. I want to thank many of you who have been serving actively, faithfully, for many years. I believe one of the greatest joy that we have is to serve others and to utilize the gifts and passions that God has given to us, because we're wired to really serve, to give back to God of what He has already given to us. When you're done, just pass the response sheet to the middle aisle. As we read earlier, in this passage, as the apostles had increased and expanded their team, chose people to come along their side to work with them, that the ministry spread and grew even more, not only in Jerusalem, but Samaria, Judea, and to the remotest part of the world. I believe that we, as we join hands together, will be able to do much more for Christ. So if you pass it to the aisle, we'll appreciate it. We're going to be singing a response song in just a second. You can still finish up and pass along, or give it to the usher on your way out. Well, let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed us. And Lord, may we make ourselves available to serve you, because there's just so great joy in service, Lord. You have blessed us with special gifts. And Lord, may we give you our very best. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.